viewer to speaker view. So you've got both me and whatever I share on my screen or Craig's screen or Kaylee's screen in the next little while. So you can see where we're going here in this first Sunday in a new series. I want to start with a word of prayer and then we'll dive right in this morning. All right, let's pray together. Father, we love you and we're so grateful to you for what's coming ahead of us. We now ask that you would indeed, that you would speak to us, not just so that this becomes an intellectual exercise, but rather so that we can become faithful to you in all ways, bearing witness to who you've made us to be, bearing witness to you, Jesus, and you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, gang, one of the issues that's plagued the church for centuries is the debate between legalism and licentiousness. Now, that's a big word, so let me say it a different way. Having to follow rules or living in freedom. We call it grace, but I think we've not really understood what grace means. This, of course, is not just a Southside issue or even the church in Canada. It's been going on for centuries, and it's the very issue that Paul's talking about here in his letter to the church in Galatia. It's the issue that I want us to wrestle with over the next couple of months, 9 weeks, as we spend time looking at what it means to be an image bearer. In Galatia, where Paul writes to, there were a group of people called Judaizers. These were people that were teaching. They were teaching that to be a Christian meant that you needed to keep Jewish customs and Jewish laws. To them, it seemed as if one was still under the law, even after you'd become a follower of Jesus. And Paul comes on the scene and he speaks to these Judaizers with strong words and liberating concepts. The problem is, in those days, as it is today, not everyone sort of figured out the difference between law and freedom, or law and grace. So our task today, as we dive into this introductory sort of sermon on Galatians chapter 5, is to help us to understand what Paul was really driving at, to help us to understand the difference between legalism and license, so that we might begin to live in the freedom of the Spirit of God. And in order to do that, I want to ask two questions this morning, two questions that, in a sense, will frame all of our 9 weeks together. We'll hear them a lot. And so the first one is, what is freedom really? That's question number one. What is freedom really? Paul states in verses 13 to 18 that Christians are to be free. We're no longer under the law, but rather we are to live by the Spirit. There's a battle that's going on. A battle occurs between life in the flesh and life in the Spirit. But for Christians, there's only one way to live. Life in the Spirit. Now, let me give a couple of analogies this morning that I think we'll all be able to relate to. And I'm hoping that you'll find one of them that sort of resonates with you. So here's the first one. It has to do with food. So, do you remember when we were all kids? Back when we're 6, 7, 8, 10, and our parents made us eat the things we hated. Eat your vegetables, they're good for you. Eat this or eat that. But I hated it. What kind of food did your parents make you eat that you hated? Okay, so for me, it was spinach. I would gag trying to get cooked spinach down my throat. Literally, I would come close to, well, you know what it is. I don't need to describe it. I used to think of all the horrible things that I could wish upon my parents for making me eat cooked spinach. Even after I watched Popeye and how strong he was from spinach, I didn't care. I hated it. For this was law to me. Eating spinach, eating the things I didn't, was a law. But there were consequences. Because you know what happens if you didn't eat your spinach, right? No dessert for you. But we grow up. We move out on our own. And there's freedom. We could eat whatever we wanted to. Chips, pops, hamburgers, anytime. Even ice cream before bed. It was wonderful. I was free. Or was I? Do you remember those days? But as we got older, the metabolism slowed down. Eating that junk food wasn't such a good idea after all, and adjustments needed to be made. We had less energy, grew tired and sluggish, and needed naps. We decided to discipline ourselves and to take a diet to eat better so we could have more energy and we wouldn't feel so tired and slow. We could live longer. But most of us know that diets don't really work. See, if we work it out, we eat more healthy food, we work out more, we lose weight, and then we celebrate. And we celebrate because we're having success. And what that means was we could go eat ice cream before bed again. We deserved it, didn't we? See, nothing had really changed. We'd moved from the law of eating what our parents told us to the license or the, we thought, freedom of eating anything we wanted. But we realized we weren't really free at all. And so we go back to the law of disciplining ourselves so that we could live life to the fullest. And it wasn't really life to the fullest at all. We were not free until we found a third way. Not that we were told to eat our spinach and our vegetables, even though we realize our parents were correct, nor that we were free to eat anything we wanted. But we begin to realize that it's in eating healthy foods that life begins to have some energy. Freedom is found in eating better so that we can function with more energy the way God intended us to. Ultimately, freedom came when we were able to deal with the issues that caused us to eat poorly in the first place. We went from the law to license to freedom. Let me give you another example. Music. Those of you who are musicians, you'll know this one. So under the law, we had to practice scales all the time. I remember a teacher in Winnipeg teaching me the violin who expected me to do 15 to 30 minutes of scales every day. I hated them. Boring. I wanted to be free and play the music that I wanted to play. But I was under the law of scales. But then I had a license. I was free to play music, but I realized that if I didn't practice my scales, I wasn't as free as I thought because I couldn't play with the freedom that I desired. And so I came to a third way. I moved from law to license to freedom, where I found that if I actually practiced my scales, not because I was under the law, but because I chose to, so that when I played the songs that I wanted to play, I had a confidence in my ability to do the difficult things and to play it with emotion. From the law to license to the third way. Well, another example could be sports, and you can think of many more examples in your own lives. I was just thinking of bowling the other day. Do you remember when you learned to play bowling when we were little kids? What did we do? We put those tubes in the gutters so that if we rolled the ball down, we bowled it, and it would go off track, the bumper would push it back into the very path. That was the law, right? And then we had freedom. We didn't need those bumpers anymore. Of course, the freedom didn't mean we just throw things down the gutter. No, we learned what it meant to play the game properly and to bowl with freedom down the middle of the alley. Friends, this is what Paul's trying to communicate in Galatians chapter 5. The law was the Jews had lived under this law for centuries. God had given the law to Moses at Mount Sinai. The law acted like a nanny, like those bumpers in the gutters. In fact, he says it in the book of Galatians. He says, the law was like a nanny raising you up so as the people would not go out of bounds. They would live in the direction that God knew was best for them. They did not understand about life to the fullest. How could they? Christ had not yet come. So they needed to be guided and they needed to be taught. There were all kinds of laws. Laws so that they would be religious or clean or eat food safely. Laws around sexual practices. Laws around relationships. They were under the law because they needed to be taught to follow the ways of God. But they longed for freedom. They longed for a license. And so the pendulum swings all the way over. And many wanted to have that freedom. And so what they did is they wanted to conduct their lives in the way they thought best. They did what they wanted instead of obeying God's design for their life, much as it is with us today. They soon discovered that This was not freedom at all. So they doubled down and they tried to obey the laws of God in their own strength. Religious leaders came along and they put fences around the laws. In other words, extra laws, so that they wouldn't break the ones that God had given. This is how Paul lived. He lived under the law until he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. In fact, in early in the book of Galatians, he recounts the story and he begins to tell his friends, remind his friends, this is who he was. He was one who was under the law until he met Jesus. After he met Jesus, he went away. He went away to study. Some think it was a year, some think it was 14 years, but he went off on his own to learn by the Spirit what it meant to live by the Spirit. Now he's returned and is teaching the people that they can move from the law, not to license, but to love. A third way, that when we learn to love, when we live life in the Spirit, we learn to love our neighbors. And that's what he's telling us all along. We're no longer under the law, but that doesn't mean that we have the freedom to do whatever we want. No, it means that we have the freedom to be living by the Spirit so that we may love one another. There's a second question that Paul asks in this text, and I want us to focus for the last few minutes on that second question. He says it like this: what does a life of freedom actually look like? Well, think for a second about people that look like one another, or people that look even like their dogs. Have you seen those kinds of pictures before? Here's one. The guy kind of looks like that dog, doesn't he? Looks a bit like his dog. And then there's another one that we can go to the next screen and see. This guy looks fairly similar to his dog too. Or this one. I don't know. Who do you think that one looks like? Looks a little bit like, I'm not going to say it, but he looks like his dog, doesn't he? Isn't it amazing? And it's not just dogs we look like. Sometimes we look like one another. Couples start to look like each other, like this couple here. Somehow we marry people that look like us, or we come, like when we're older, we look like people that we've been married to for a long time. There's a sweet old couple. And then a third example, we just see how people come to look like each other the older they get. They even wear the same clothes. You get the idea. So let me ask you this question, because I think this is what Paul's driving at. Who do you look like? So this week you were asked to grab a mirror. And I want you to take that mirror if you've got it. If you don't, just pretend for a minute. I want you to hold up the mirror and look into it and tell me what you see. I'm not asking about the color of your eyes. I'm not looking at the shape of your nose, as beautiful as those might be. Nor the wrinkles, nor the bags, nor the double chins. Not worried. I'm asking who you see. The better question might be to phrase it this way: when others look at you, who do they see? For you've heard the phrase before that the eyes are the window into the soul. So as people really look at you, who do they see? If you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, then they should be seeing Jesus in us more and more and more. The deeper we go in the Christian life, the further we move along, the more we mature, people should be able to see Jesus in us. One of my favorite theologians of late is a man by the name of Chris Wright. Listen to this short video about the way that Chris introduces this whole idea of us beginning to look more and more like Christ.
We could say that nothing is more important than becoming more like Jesus in the life of a Christian. And I say that because God obviously thinks it is. Paul tells us that God's whole purpose in calling us, he says in Romans 8:28, was that we should be conformed to the likeness of his Son, which means being like Jesus. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 that in our lifetime, because the Holy Spirit is within us, he is making us to be more and more like Jesus. And 1 John tells us that when Christ returns, we will be like him, and that is God's purpose. So if God's purpose from all eternity and in our lifetime and when Christ returns is that we should be like Jesus, What could be more important than that we should be seeking to be like Jesus in our lifetime? So I think it's as important as that. For someone to claim to be a Christian, but not to be growing in some way more like Jesus, is really a contradiction in terms. It's a complete frustration of the whole purpose for which God has called us and saved us.
I think at the heartbeat of Christianity is transformation. And it's transformation into being more like Christ. So I think it is the most exciting thing for us as followers of Jesus, that our goal is to be daily more and more like Jesus. And it's I think it's so exciting at the moment that as church we're recapturing that, because that has to be the most exciting dynamic aspect of our faith, that we are in flux, that we know who we are in Christ. We are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But actually every day we're up for a new adventure. And what does it mean to live ordinary, everyday lives as followers of Christ, but allowing his superordinary-ness to transform us? So I think the Christ-like thing is a goal, it's a hope, it's a reality, and it's something that we need each other for. I think in the past, when I became a Christian, I knew that by saying the prayer, I'd invited Jesus into my heart. But I kind of felt that was it then. I've done that. So what now? And I think the exciting thing is, as I work with young people and help them engage with, here is a Lord and Saviour who wants to engage with your life, and he wants to transform your life, and he wants to help you become all that you can be, and more than that, you know, all that God has planned for you. I think that's such an exciting call to a transformed life that we can give young people.
Being a Christian is all about having an encounter with Jesus Christ. And then the rest of your life, and in fact all eternity, is about getting to know that person of Jesus Christ. And in getting to know that person, that we should be transformed into his likeness. And so the more you get to know Jesus, the more hopefully we become like him.
Well, friends, give me just a minute to wrap this up before we take communion together. In verses 19 to 25, Paul understood. He got it. He knew that when we moved off of the law being a nanny, and moved into what we thought was the best way to live, this licentiousness, this living in freedom in our own strength. He called it living by the flesh or life by the flesh. And he knew what the results of those would be. We'd fall into religious sin, sexual sin, social sin, drinking sins. And all those things would lead not to a freedom, but rather to death. Instead, he says, life by the Spirit looks completely different. It looks completely opposite to that. And now you need to know that when he's comparing these two lists, he's not doing sort of one for one. He's talking about a way of life versus another way of life, a way of life where we trust in ourselves and a way of life where we put confidence in God. The lists are not complete. They're contextual. They were for that church in that time. But so many of them apply to us, of course, too. When we live according to the Spirit, our lives will begin to look different. See, what Paul's doing when he gives us these lists, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, etc., he's describing the very nature of God. He's describing the character of Jesus that reflects the nature of God. He's describing the way in which the Holy Spirit wants to make us like Jesus so that we too will reflect the nature of God. For Paul understands as well as anybody ever has, no longer should he live under the law, but nor does that mean that we can just do whatever we want. No, instead, when we surrender ourselves to the Spirit begins to make us look like Jesus, and that's where life to the fullest is found. That's where we find real freedom. Grace is the power of God to help us to surrender in every situation to what the Spirit of God is saying, so that we may obey and live life to the fullest. Pray with me as we come to communion. Father, thank you so much. for this beautiful passage. And we pray that over the next 9 weeks, you will form us into the character of Jesus so that we may be image bearers of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.